The feast of the baptism of the Lord is Epiphany Part 2. Why Epiphany Part 2? We have just celebrated it last Sunday. When Jesus manifested himself to the pagan world, or to the Gentile, as represented by the three magi. And it goes to show that his salvation is universal. And it's not only for the Jews, but for all people. Now, this baptism, feast of baptism, two things. Necessity, no. Solidarity, yes. Why necessity? Jesus doesn't need to be baptized because he has no sin and he did not commit sin. Only persons who have sin needs to be baptized. Solidarity, yes. He underwent baptism to show to humanity his solidarity, that he is one with us in our struggles, in our humanity, with the exception that he did not sin. And why is this solidarity? Because through showing his solidarity with sinful humanity, he will be able to understand well the human beings, the limitations, the weakness of human beings, and he's going to well serve humanity. Jesus was prophesied by Isaiah in our first reading. When Isaiah mentioned about this mysterious servant, why is this mysterious? Because he did not identify this servant. Here is my servant whom I uphold. So it means that this servant, the figure of this servant, is very, very important. And this servant is anointed by the Spirit. And this servant, according to the prophet Isaiah, is set as a covenant with his people. Now, talking about covenant, remember that God made a covenant with his people. I am your God, and you, Israel, will be my people. But this covenant was destroyed. You know what's the reason? Because of the stubbornness of Israel. There is no problem with Yahweh as God. The problem lies with Israel, because Israel worshiped other gods, or what we call idolatry, aside from Yahweh. And so this covenant was broken. And so when the prophet Isaiah talks about this servant whom he upholds, he said that this servant will become now a covenant with God and his people, because the work of this servant, mysterious as he is going to straighten up the ones who has been broken by sin. This servant will connect again. So man and God will be connected together again because of this servant. And in what way will this servant do that? Or will he accomplish that connection between God and man through his works of justice? Remember, I think twice Isaiah mentioned that you will do justice. You will serve as light. So this is the mission of this servant, which later on is found in the very person of Jesus Christ. He will bring about justice, and he is spirit-filled as a servant, and he will conduct his mission, this work of justice, in humility, not inflicting harm on other people. And he is a gentle. Remember when we were singing in Advent, the gentleness of this servant. He does not come in a regal and militaristic mode, because this servant will be a lowly servant, whom Isaiah said that I will uphold this servant. Peter, in the second reading, gives a concretization of this servant. And for Peter, what Isaiah mentioned in the first reading as this servant, mysterious as he is being evidenced by Jesus. Peter addressed the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a pagan centurion. Do you know what is a pagan centurion? He's an army officer with 100 men under him. They were pagans. They do not know the true God. But Peter addressed Cornelius and his household and said, God shows no partiality. When you think because you are a pagan, you're a Gentile, you have no hope of salvation, that is wrong. Because this Jesus, who is a servant, is the Lord of all. He is not the Lord of the Jews only. Jesus as Lord is the Lord of all. So even you who are Gentiles, who are pagan, you are candidates for his kingdom. And so Peter addressed, and after he proclaimed Jesus as the Lord of all, what happened to Cornelius? Class, why are you so silent? Cornelius submitted for baptism. Just imagine that. Imagine that. Not only he, but the whole household was converted because of the address of Peter regarding Jesus as the Lord of all. Because that is the mission of Jesus, to save all, not just a few, not just the Jews, but Jesus came for all. His mission is to bring salvation for all. So Jesus is the face in which this the prophet Isaiah talks about the servant. And after this, of course, Cornelius received baptism. And so it reminds us of our renewal of our faith. Renewal which we professed during our baptism. Are we still faithful to Jesus after we have received our own baptism? This is just the challenge of the reading. Now, the gospel of Matthew had a unique details. Excuse me. Take note that when Jesus approached John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was baptizing, and the baptism of John the Baptist is a call for repentance. It is not a sacrament. Now here comes Jesus, who is also queuing with people. And what was the reaction of John the Baptist? He protested. And what did John the Baptist say? Why are you lining up with these sinful people? Why are you here submitting yourself for baptism. Isn't it that I should be baptized by you? Because you are the Lord. You are the Master. I am just preparing the people for your coming. But what was the reply of Jesus given for now? Do not complain. Do not complain. Just give in. Just baptize me. Why? Because we have to fulfill all righteousness. What is this righteousness? When we talk about Joseph as the righteous person, we mean that a righteous person is a person who fulfills the will of the Father. So for Jesus, he told John the Baptist, give in for now, because this is the will of my Father. We are going to fulfill the will of the Father. I am going to submit myself for baptism because I am going to show my solidarity with humanity, whom I am going to serve, whom I am going to save. Because through this, I'll be able to understand this situation and I'll be able to serve them well. And after that, after Jesus rose from the water of the Jordan, where John the Baptist was baptizing, the heavens were opened, and a dove descended on him, and there was this voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is my beloved Son." Cardinal Tagle interpreted this as, only the Son, only this Jesus is the person who can fulfill, who can understand the will of the Father. And he showed every one of us how to fulfill, how to do, how to obey the Father's will, because he and the Father are one. Brothers and sisters, knowing this, knowing the very person of Jesus, knowing the very mission that he did, isn't it that it is time for us to imitate him? Imitate Jesus in his mission. Imitate Jesus in his solidarity, especially with the outcast, with sinners, with those who are abandoned. Because this is the very mission of Jesus, to be in solidarity with sinful humanity, to be with the poor, to identify himself with the poor. Remember, have you forgotten already the nativity scene? What does this teach us? A God who is so powerful, yet he has chosen to be born in a manger. There is no A1 doctor, no A1 nurse who would attend to his need. Only animals and shepherds to show us his solidarity with humanity who becomes so poor.